It's about to get unruly.
Order in the court.
It's Rivalry Week. Ducks. Beavers. This is a Rivalry Week edition of the firm of Harris and Meringue, brought to you by Roto-Rooter, the experts in plumbing, drains, and water cleanup.
Sadiq in motion to the right, going to pitch it to Lamar going left, and he will stroll into the end zone. Touchdown, Oregon!
Keeping the peace from 10 to 1 on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, and the Odyssey app.
Two down, one to go here. Final hour. Send you on your way. After us is Ducks Insider from 1 to 2. Then the Fan Happy Hour with Luke Anderson from 2 to 3. And then Primetime, 3 to 7 to take you all the way home. Finishing up 13 hours of continuous live and local regional sports talk radio.
How many hours?
13.
Oh, that's one more than you need.
One more than the amount of losses the Huskies had in 2008. You and Joe were just talking about golfing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have a favorite hole at Augusta?
I don't know. Somewhere between 11 and 13.
Mine's clearly at an Amen Corner. Something about the 12th hole and watching Huskies hit it in the water.
Send some prayers up at Amen.
On a real note, I'd like to rename that hole. I don't know. I know the bridge has got, you know, there's a bunch of landmarks around Augusta that have names.
You want to call it Ted Bundy?
No, I want to call that. I'm going to be serious here for a moment. I think that's Tiger Hole. I think that's like a Woods Hole or something like that, because Eldrick's River, or, you know, rename some stuff. Because that year that he beat Tony Finau and Maldani, right? So those are the three that year. He owned that hole and showed them why he was going to win the Masters, and they weren't. So don't look at me like that.
No, Russ, I'm going to need that one. He really owned that hole.
Chris Fetters is next here at 12:15. We'll have him on from dogman.com to finish up our Apple Cup conversation. But let's walk into this Oregon State game. As you know, we've kind of, everybody's talked about it at length over the week. You know, for what's going on the field, is this the most talked about Civil War we've seen in a long time? Like, think about it. Bro, this is, I rarely use the phrase bro.
Bro.
This is day five of us talking about this. And not because it's, you know, branded, and not because we've got sponsors, or not because of anything like that. This feels like one of the more topical, existential conversations we've had about a Civil War in a long time.
For a litany of reasons, but it's also...
None of it on the field.
No, and that's... Like... It genuinely breaks my heart, because we're having this fun talking about rivalries and all this stuff and the pettiness and having all this fun and being goofy, and people are sending in stuff on the text line that we can't read on the radio. Don't worry, we're laughing.
Yeah, keep them coming. Keep them coming.
And it's working, because Joe Fisher came in here with, be more original than the number of titles on the helmet. Win one, dork.
You got the office fired up over here too, guys.
Win one. Then maybe you can start actually counting up more than one or two or three or four or five or six or seven. I don't know. That's just a number I wanted to stop at for no particular reason.
No particular reason.
But yeah, no, it sucks, because it's just such a, like, Eeyore is looking over at you like, would you guys perk up a bit? Like, come on. Yeah, you're dragging me down.
Yeah. You know, I want to think about the fact that, you know, I would contemplate selling one of my children to get done with this show and go sit at the Coug right now and have a beer. Pull my mug, 2702, and fill that bad boy up with like $2.50 Busch Light and just sit there and get ready for the game this weekend. Yeah, we'll ask Fetters about this too next, about the WSU. Because look, I've heard it from that side too. I've heard a lot of WSU fans that feel the same way as a lot of the vocal OSU fans have on this station about just shut her down. Whether it's the program, the
Johnny
rivalry.
Johnny Lutz is out here talking about just put the money in basketball. Come on, brother. Come on now. You're not going to be that good at basketball either.
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm curious. What do you think the storylines will be coming into next week out of this? You think we just...
Let's see what the game is.
Yeah. Let's say the games go the way we expect them to
because
go.
Because if this is the, you know, the OG Predator, and you're getting strung up in the jungle and your spine's getting ripped out, the story coming out of this is, hey, Trent Bray, see you later, dog.
Yeah.
For Washington State, you mean, you're a kook. How? This doesn't have the capacity to get that bad, do you think?
It does. It was 59-10 last week in West Texas.
Is that I understand that. Do you think that that game was more of a oh crap situation, like, or was it was a one off?
I think that game is a one off in the extent of I think North Texas is a lot better than we think, and you can't have five turnovers.
Yeah.
Go ask DJ Lagway. Mm-hmm. You can't have five turnovers. And he was lucky to have five turnovers and only lose that game by 7 points
yes.
or 10 points.
Whereas,
if Wazoo gets blown out this weekend, if it's 40-17, I'm not devastated. If it's 70-0, I'm freaking out.
See, that's the thing is 40-17 is that's just covering.
Yeah, that's just kind of a whooping.
You know what I mean? Like that's. But I mean, like if
but
it's,
I don't live in a world, but I don't live in a world where it could be 40-0 at halftime.
But it's what I'm saying, like, there's a real possibility that Oregon is up, you know, 42-48 nothing, 49 nothing at halftime.
I want to see him shock the world.
Oh, look, I would love nothing more.
Well, we have ulterior, we have different motives than each other.
The Beavs going out there and beating Oregon.
I want it for content. You want it for bragging.
Well, not just that.
We're talking
ass. Are you kidding me? Oh, Andy Dirt Johnson would hate to see me coming Monday morning. Oh, my God.
I love this text. Duck lose as 35-point favorites. Lanning fired? Yeah, send him on his way. Can't cut it here. What?
I'm starting to think. Like,
no, we're not going there.
If again, it's not happening.
No.
But if Oregon State somehow pulled off the unthinkable and beat Oregon...
Mm-hmm.
How much of an S show would that be?
I don't think it would be an S show. I think
you were a 35-point favorite. Brother, that would be one of the worst losses in that program's history.
I don't think you're talking about
being favored.
Yeah. Yeah.
35 points.
Georgia loss is tough, but you lost to Georgia.
You lost to Georgia.
And you were not favored.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I would come in on Monday and want to talk Oregon State.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, but also, that would be a reckoning. it would also reignite the Lanning can't win the rivalry games. You know, lost to UW. I love Lanning. But, like, I know we're talking about something that's so hypothetical, it feels like a math question that's not possible to answer.
I will eat a pound of Liberty caps if the Beavers actually win, coming on the YouTube chat.
I think there's a, because nothing's a 0% chance, but the closest to 0% chance of that actually happening, but we've seen crazier things happen in college football.
We have seen crazier things happen. The question would be on Oregon 100% because the coaching staffs are not anywhere near each other. Quarterbacks are probably the closest similarity they have of anything.
Honestly,
if you look at everything, yeah. I'm talking coaching, facilities, cities, national reputation, conferences, D-line, O-line, receiving core, quarterbacks where you're the closest.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think Malik Murphy is Dante Moore, but I think he's closer to Dante Moore than Oregon State's offensive line is to Oregon's line.
Every other unit, yeah, 100%. I'm going a step further. Again, I don't know why I'm talking about this. Maybe because I'm trying to manifest it, probably. Yeah. If Oregon did lose to Oregon State, one of LaPoy or Stein would get fired.
It would not be Will Stein.
Which is kind of where I was going to go with this.
It would not be Will Stein.
Like that. If you did that, it almost screams that you would have to.
I don't think anybody gets fired.
I hate you guys so much.
I don't think anybody gets fired.
A 35-point favorite?
I don't think anybody
Somebody's head's got to roll.
I don't think anybody gets fired because Penn State becomes a lot more interesting.
Oh, buddy.
A lot more
interesting. The line on that game would be like, I don't know, Penn State by 20?
It would shift really, really difficult, really, really hard.
It wouldn't go that far, but you know what I mean. Like, I actually don't want to see it happen because it's not even that I don't like the program. I mostly just don't like their fans.
I'm going for a competitive half. In both games. That's what I want.
Don't go into the half like just a beaten dog.
Yeah, I have to record the Coug game, the Apple Cup, so I want to keep watching after halftime.
Okay. I'll give you that.
I think you should.
I think the Coug game has a significantly stronger chance of being a competitive game, at least for a half.
We'll ask Chris Fetters that next. He joins us from dogman.com. This is the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 The Fan. All right, it's Rivalry Week here on The Fan, and we haven't had a ton of chatter about the Apple Cup leading up today, so we figured we'd carry the torch, and that leads us to Chris Fetters, Dogman.com, who joins us again as our Husky Insider. We're happy to have you, Chris. And we had Alex Brink on in the first hour of the show, and I asked him this question, and I'm curious the perspective from you and Husky Nation as well, whether it's fans, the administration, how do they feel about this rivalry going forward? Because in our land, Oregon State feels like the sky is falling and their fans are turning on this rivalry. Where does it sit up north in the Husky land?
Yeah, I think it's just, I just feel like a lot of Washington fans are of the opinion that the rivalry really doesn't exist anymore. I mean, now that you've got the teams in totally different conferences, the game has to be a non-conference game. So that means every other year you're giving up an opportunity to play the possibility of a premier non-conference opponent, maybe like an SEC opponent or a Big 12 opponent or an ACC opponent. And you're basically seeding that so that you can go play your in-state rivalry. To me, at this point, it's rivalry and geography only. It's starting to feel more and more, guys, like this is going to end up like the Colorado State rivalry, where for the longest time that I can remember, they played it in Denver in the Broncos Stadium, Mile High. You know, they played it at a neutral site. It was an early season game. It was like, okay, we're in the same state together. People expect us to play each other, so we're going to go do it. And I asked Jed Fish for his personal opinion on it, whether he'd like to see the rivalry continue, and he basically says, I don't know any coach in the country that wouldn't want to play their in-state rivalry every year if it makes sense. And that's the problem, though. Does it make sense? And right now, I think both programs are really struggling with whether or not it makes sense, and especially on Washington's end.
I'll take a look at the actual game itself. Washington hasn't played anybody. Colorado State and UC Davis are not exactly measuring sticks that you want to have. So you're looking at this Washington State game as like, okay, let's have a little bit of a measuring stick. Oregon has kind of the same situation taking on Oregon State and going, can you give us something ahead of taking on a top five Big Ten team next week? And for UW, it's Ohio State. For Oregon, it's Penn State. So for Washington, how do they look at this game? How do they prepare for it? What are the kind of the earmarks that you're looking for them, not only to come out from a win, but to kind of set themselves up for a massive game against the Buckeyes next week?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that this was a real shock to the system for Jed Fish in his first year last year, losing the Apple Cup, because first of all, they were all trying to just get familiar with the game in general, what it meant to everybody in the state, you know, the dividing lines, east-west, the whole bit. And for them to lose that game on Washington's very, very last play of their, you know, basically their last offensive possession of the game on a crazy kind of short side option to Will Rogers, a guy that normally doesn't run, it was tough for them to take. And I asked Jed Fish about this yesterday, specifically because that year, this last year, he brought in a number of different former players like Lawyer Malloy, Michael Jackson, some of these guys that had won Rose Bowls and won big games like the Whammy in Miami, and just try to get these guys fired up because there was so much roster turnover last year in terms of Washington. And basically I asked him, who'd you bring in this week? You know, who were some of the guys that you leaned on to try to get these guys going? He goes, we didn't have to lean on anybody. He goes, our motivation in this game is clear. They took the trophy from us. We know how it felt in that locker room after that loss in Lumen Field last year. We got all the motivation that we need in this game. So you can throw the records out. You can throw everything else out. I mean, I'm looking at the Apple Cup record and the history of this series, guys. Washington State has never beaten Washington more than two times in a row, ever, ever. Washington's done it three times or more in a row, 10 different times. Like I said, this has become a rivalry in geography only. But if Washington needed any extra motivation or any extra incentive in this game, they got it last year, and they got a big steaming pile of it, and they don't want to feel that way again.
Chris Fetters, Dogman.com, is our guest today. He's our Husky guy, and we're here for Rivalry Week. I'm going to ask you kind of a broad question, Chris. Kind of twofold here. How good is this team? And what is this team's identity? Usually Jed Fish year two, is when things really start to pop. But as Danny was saying, it's hard to kind of tell from the first two games and then now a bye. What do you think the identity of this team is, and what is their strongest strength?
Well, I think offensively their identity was probably focused around their kind of their three-headed offensive monster in terms of the quarterback, Damond Williams, the running back, Jonah Coleman, and the receiver, Denzel Boston. Those were the three kind of noted names going into the season that everyone knew about, even nationally. Those were, you know, people, when people talk about, you know, from an offensive skill set, you know, who are the triple threats out there that a team can possess? Well, Washington, I think, in my opinion, has one of the best triple threats in the country when you talk about Williams and Coleman and Boston. Those guys are proven, they're productive, and even though Damond Williams is just kind of scratching the surface of his potential, he still played in a number of games and started games. I mean, his first start ever was last year at Oregon when Oregon was number one. That's straight from the frying pan into the fire. So he's seen it up close and personal. And so he knows what's going on right now, and his potential is limitless. So, you know, that was one of the real talking points. But I also think the main talking point for Washington right now going into this kind of the rest of this season is the improvement on both lines of scrimmage. Speaking of the offensive line, you've got a lot of continuity there. You've got a couple guys that return in the center, Landon Hatchett, and the right tackle, Jerez Aparte. But you also got Garen Hatchett coming back from Oklahoma. He's Landon Hatchett's brother, started out at Washington, so there's continuity there. And then on the left side, they brought in a couple guys, true freshman John Mills at left guard, and Carver Willis from Kansas State at left tackle, arguably one of the best tackle prospects that was out there in the transfer portal this last spring. So, you know, they've got some continuity there. They've got a lot. They got a lot bigger on both lines of scrimmage. I took a look last year to this year in terms of their official depth charts. They're about 10 pounds bigger per player across the offensive line. That was one of the real mandates from Jed Fish. He wanted to get them bigger, just wanted to get them looking bigger coming off the bus. That's kind of one of the hallmarks that you have to be when you go into Big Ten play. You just have to compete physically with a lot of other bigger teams. And so that has been accomplished. And then, you know, just in general, I think defensively, the big kind of talking point going into the season was Ryan Walters coming in, the former Purdue head coach, who was also the architect of one of the really, really good defenses at Illinois, one of the top defenses in the country a few years back, and whether or not he could kind of, you know, kind of go from where Steve Belichick had the defense last year and kind of push on. And that seems to have happened a little bit, but you guys are right overall. It's hard to really forge identity after just two games, and especially two games against opponents where it's hard to judge exactly where progress has really been made. But again, when you beat a team 70-10 against the UC Davis team, yes, they're an FCS team, but going into that game, they're a top five FCS team. These guys weren't necessarily considered the cupcake that everyone now considers them because Washington put a 60-point beatdown on them. So it's, again, hard to tell. But, you know, at least when you put 70 on a team, you've got to be feeling super, super confident going into your next game, whether that's the following week or if it's after a bye week.
Kind of following up off of that, what are the, I don't want to say fears, but like what are the things if you're Washington, if you're looking at Washington State going, we need to be careful of this, because it's obviously difficult with Washington State coming off the loss that they just took it, to look like they're striking much fear. But if you're UW, how do you look at Washington State right now and say we need to protect against X or Y to make sure last year doesn't happen?
Well, yeah, first of all, it's got to start with them. I mean, they can't guard against being complacent, starting out slow, letting Washington State take the game to them. They've got the better talent. They've got they're in a better frame mind, for instance. They've got to take the game to them because they have everything going in their favor on paper. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is, and then Jed Fish talked about this when they were talking about Colorado State and preparing for them, you know, with new coordinators, new personnel, everything else, and you don't have really any film to go on as far as Colorado State. They had to go to other schools, like Tyson Summers, the defensive coordinator at Colorado State now. They had to go back to his previous place at, like, Western Kentucky and other schools he's been at to really kind of form an opinion about what they thought they might see. Well, with Washington State, it's the exact same thing. The only difference is now they have that North Texas game film they can watch. They have that San Diego State film that they can watch. They have that Idaho film that they can watch. That's the main thing. But with Washington State, the personnel is so, I mean, it's absolute night and day. I mean, obviously John Mateer not being there is the highlight there. But Wayshon Parker, their freshman running back, who did really well for Washington State last year, he's at Utah now. They, you know, Tariq Buda Alukta is now at Washington. He was one of the main linebackers for Washington State last year. But, you know, according to Fish, he said yesterday that Washington State has 75 new players in their program from last year. You look at their depth chart, there is absolutely nobody. I mean, dead zero, guys. There is nobody on their defensive depth that was in the defensive depth for the Washington State game last year. I mean, they are literally starting from scratch. You couldn't start more from scratch. And so you take that into account, and then you're also taking into account that, yes, they maximized their efforts in the transfer portal, but where Washington was able to go to Arizona to pick guys out with Jed Fish, now Jimmy Rogers, he comes from South Dakota State. They're picking up 16 new players that came from South Dakota State, an FCS team, so that they're shopping at a whole different grocery store compared to what Washington had to do last year. So those are some of the things you really have to look at, but because the personnel is so different, you don't really have a great feel for it. Then they've talked about the three or four different quarterbacks that they can throw at Washington this week, you know, because they had three different quarterbacks play against North Texas. So they have to guard against trying to figure out which quarterback they're going to use, which I think is a little overrated in my personal opinion, because I just don't think that that's a situation that Washington State wants to find itself in, but that's where they're at. And I think that's just symptomatic of the fact that Wazoo right now is just searching for answers anywhere they can find them.
He's Chris Fetters of Dogman.com. We'll get you out one more question. I got to ask the barometer, the level of conversations amongst the fan base or what you're hearing. If Billy Napier does get fired, do you feel good about keeping Jed Fish in UW?
Well, I would imagine a lot of people have talked about trying to extend him now, and my answer to that is why? What has he done? What has he done? I mean, yes, there is so many positives that you can talk about with Jed Fish right now, especially like in recruiting. He's starting to really restock the shelves in terms of that, and he's really made a focus on that. Really, you know, like he got five true freshmen offensive linemen, for instance, and two of them are in the two deeps right now as true freshmen. I mean, he's really restocked the cupboard to a point where things are looking really, really good going forward. But if you look at his resume, if you look at what he's done, yes, he did great things in year three at Arizona. Well, we're not in year three at Washington yet. We're still just starting year two. And I understand the need for Washington fans to feel like they need to lock down the next guy. But Fish has also made no bones, guys, about if there's a pro opportunity that comes up to him and he feels like that's the move he needs to make to keep that upward trajectory moving in his career, he's going to take it. He's at Washington for a good time, guys, not a long time. I mean, that just seems to be a matter of fact. And that's starting to kind of be a matter of fact in college football anyways. I mean, the days of the Kirk Ferentz at Iowa are way gone. I mean, that's why he's getting so much acclaim right now, and he's going to be getting all the tributes, and they're all well-deserved. But it's because he is literally probably the last guy that's going to do what he's doing right now. And so if Fish is only here for two, maybe even 3 years, I think Washington is still well situated to move on to try to find another guy. Pat Chun, who was at Washington State, he's now at Washington, the athletic director. He's obviously made some really solid hires when he was at Washington State in the past. So I think Washington fans feel pretty good about where he stands and his ability to find more talent coming in. But again, just with so much turmoil and so much turnover, the transfer portal, everything else that's going on, NIL, cap, revenue share with the cap and all this, it's very hard to find the kind of continuity you really, really need to be unless your name is Ohio State.
Are you headed to Pullman?
Or Alabama or Georgia.
Are you headed to Pullman or are you staying in Seattle for the game?
No, we have somebody that's on his way right now and actually got word that there's a big traffic accident on I-90 heading east.
That sounds so, about right.
Yeah, a lot of Washington fans are going to be real thrilled about getting over to Pullman. It's But it is so odd thinking about what are travel plans in the middle or end of September for an Apple Cup as opposed to, you know, around Thanksgiving. It's just such a big change in everything. It's hard to kind of really – It's just hard to grasp.
Totally. Better than the snow on that two-lane highway in November, I'll tell you that. He's Chris Fetters from Dogman.com. He's our Husky guy. Thank you so much for hopping on, and we'll check in with you later on down the road, and enjoy the game.
Okay, I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Of course. There you go. Chris Fetters from Dogman.com. Mm. A little hot and spicy there, yeah. I thought. Yeah. Bring in the thunder.
You missed your chance.
What do you mean?
Coward.
No, I don't know the guy. I couldn't tell him I'm a Coug and take a shot. I wanted to hear what he had to say.
Coward.
We come back, we'll...
Look, I think Chris is kind of a meat and potatoes dude. Mm-hmm, you know what I mean?
He ain't messing around. Yeah. There's a few things in there I thought that were interesting, mostly mm-hmm. on Jed Fish. Let's get to that next. We'll toss it over to Rust with sports. Closing Arguments is next. We'll wrap things up and call it a day and send you on your way. I love on the fan text line the amount of vitriol coming from what I assume are Ducks fans towards our guy Fetters and the UW program. I love it, guys. If you didn't swear so much, I'd read it on the air.
It's great. I do love it.
Football Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This series, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
You watched it yet?
I have not.
Get in on some Dwight.
I have not.
I restarted it again the other day. I had watched like the first episode probably, well, like right when it came out, mm-hmm. and then it just fell out of the rotation. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to start watching it again.
Brandman said it's pretty good.
Good show.
It's a solid show.
Yeah.
It is.
Solid show. I just still can't buy Sylvester Stallone as a guy named Dwight.
Yeah, I know. That and Landman, the Billy Bob Thornton Texas mm-hmm. Oil Man
yes,
one.
Yes, good show.
Landman's a good show.
It is. New season of Morning Show is out on Apple TV, so mm-hmm. we're into that.
See, I never have... Like, we have the Apple TV. It's just not in the rotation. It's not one that comes up.
Foundation on there. I've mentioned that a couple times. That show rules.
I watched the first episode of The Studio, the Seth Rogen show.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah.
I watched the first episode, and I was like, this is pandering to rich people. I'm out of here.
And then what else is on there? Severance, too.
Severance was great.
What's the Morning Show pandering to?
Jennifer Aniston fans?
Mm. I mean, Aniston's great in it. It's basically... It's the Today Show situation with Matt Lauer and Steve Carell's great on that.
Yeah.
And now it's got like Jan 6 and rich people buying media companies and stuff like that. It's pretty good.
Mm.
It's pretty good. Chris Fetters, we just had him on talking about the Huskies and the Apple Cup. And I'm not shocked by a lot of things that Chris Fetters had to say. You can go read his stuff at dogman.com. He has the opinion that the Apple Cup shouldn't be played because it's kind of a waste of a schedule spot for a non-conference. And I agree. I mean, that's the attitude I would look at it, too. I mean, if you're Oregon, I think you look at it as well. Like, that could be the opportunity to go play somebody big. I understand that argument. I really do.
I get it more from the Oregon perspective in the sense of continuity, which is kind of strange considering UW was literally in a national title game, 2 years ago?
Their coach is at Alabama.
Yeah, but, like, their UW is so much more volatile. Their highs have been the highest, but mm-hmm. their lows are 0-12.
Yeah.
So it's like, I kind of get where he's coming from in that sense.
Sure.
But you also in this century have had an 0-12 season. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
they're not the little brother tagging along to the Big Ten like UCLA, but they're not the prize.
No, but they're not the bottom either.
You know what I mean? Like,
I think the Big 12 would have been stoked to get UW.
Oh, God, yes.
I think they would have been stoked.
They would have gone and ruled the roost kind of a deal, and it probably wouldn't have been good for UW in the long run, but it's, I don't know. I don't really have anything, like, I'm not a Coug nor a Duck, so I don't really have any vitriol for UW, but I also don't look at them in the same light as even Oregon, even though that they've been to a higher high and beaten Oregon more recently in prominent games just because their volatility has been such.
I know. I thought the Jed Fish stuff was interesting that he had to say, because now
that made me go, you think you can do better than Jed Fish right now?
Well, like, I think what he's pointing at, and to give Fetters a lot of credit, which I'm, you know, I was surprised that he went this route with Jed Fish. You know, he's here for a good time, not a long time. I love that saying, by the way.
It's great.
I mean, that's kind of been UW for a while. I mean, outside of Peterson, you know, I mean, DeBoer was only there for two seasons. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Lake was a disaster. Sark was a disaster. Ty Willingham was a disaster.
0-12.
There's a lot of, like, UW has kind of been that stone outside of Chris Peterson. I thought Chris Peterson was going to be there for a long time. I just thought the Northwest suited him, his mentality. I don't want to go to the SEC.
Like, not just that, you know. A reason he went to UW was because of his kid in the research institute.
Totally.
And when we were talking about Chris Peterson,
and he brought them to high heights.
We were talking about him. Was that last week or the week before? I can't remember what it was. But somebody was like, "Well, you know," because we were talking about. He said that there's not going to be any more Ferentzes. Where I do think there's going to be a couple around the country,
and I'm with him on that. Yeah, I don't think there will be.
We disagree. I think there's still going to be a couple. But somebody texted in some version of like, "Well, Chris Peterson left Boise State because he wanted." Like, Chris Peterson is on record of saying, flat out, I didn't leave Boise State to go to UW because I wanted a bigger challenge. I left Boise State because it didn't feel right. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, we are going to like BCS games and it wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
Like we were all of a sudden, because we changed the tenor, like to him, and the way that I look at that is UW was a step down from expectations. Mm.
Well, and as far as Jed Fish goes and Chris's line with, you know, he's here for a good time, not for a long time. His first job as a coach, 1997, at, what does this say, P.K. Young Developmental Research School in Florida, where he was the defensive coordinator.
Hell yeah, brother.
Right? God bless exactly. You. So started in 1997.
Fish has hopped around a ton.
The Arizona job, where he was there from 2021 to 2023, three seasons. Mm-hmm. That was the first time he spent more than two seasons at any stop in his career.
Mm. He's a hopper.
And he started in 97.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he kind of represents, you know, when I heard that, I was like, well, who wants to play for a guy who's just going to leave? Players that might leave with him?
Not just that. Get in a room with Jed Fish.
Yeah. Got that brother, moxie. That,
like, again, that the Pac-12 Media Day being down there, it was his first year. Dude, Fish has got juice. Like, he and it's salesman, but not in, like, the, oh, God. Like he makes you buy in. He makes you believe. He's got the goods.
That sounds a lot more Florida than Seattle.
Yes.
Because he is not the 12th man. You know why the Seahawks had the 12th man? One to represent each loss from the Huskies in 2008. Mm. All right, next is closing arguments. We'll call it a day. Send you on your way. 105.1 The Fan.
The firm of Harris and Marang is wrapping up for the day.
You want answers?
Which means it's time for the closing arguments.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
On the Fan Sports Network.
You can't handle the truth!
105.1 and 1080, The Fan.
All right, that'll do it for us. See ya.
Big gulps on. Well, bye. I just love looking over at Russ, just seeing the look.
We've had a very fun day today around here. I'd like to thank all you fine listeners out there for entertaining us.
For all 12 segments.
And helping us have some fun today on Rivalry Week. And restore the positivity around the region about hating your rival, for no good reason other than that they suck.
Make hating fun again.
I mean, I don't know if I'm that far. Yeah. This is all tongue-in-cheek for me.
No, it's not.
You're right. I hate those guys.
Yeah, I know.
I actually have some really good friends that went to UW that I really, really like.
And you still...
Oh, I give them grief. Yes. I give them grief.
Yeah.
I give them grief.
Yeah. You forget. I'm with you off air. I know what you say.
Yeah. Yeah. Some text rolling in that I wanted to get to real quick. Sark is far from perfect, but considering how bad Ty Willingham left the program, I think he was more than solid. And to give you a little bit of an anecdote from where I was when Sark left UW, because he took the USC job right after that, correct? I laughed hysterically because I was like, ha, Take that, UW. You're never getting a better coach than Sark. It might not have been pretty here, but Sark was better than you were going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And then they hired Chris Peterson.
And you're like, ah!
And I was very, very, very upset by that. I don't think Chris Peterson lost to UW or to WSU. I'd have to go back and check, but I don't think he lost to us.
He's a damn good coach.
Very, very good coach.
Damn good coach. There was a period there.
When he left,
I wanted Peterson bad
at
USC.
Yeah, I know you did.
Bad.
I believe it. I know a lot of USC fans wanted him. Yeah, when he left UW, but then they said, we're taking Jimmy Lake. And I was like, oh, no. Jimmy Lake has Mike Leach's number.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Lake's defense is tailor-made to destroy a non-adaptive passing attack from Mike Leach. And Jimmy Lake turned out to just be an absolute disaster.
Abject failure.
Yeah, I mean, DeBoer was great. I mean, DeBoer was good. And then this other text that came in, and I think this is very true, and we do have to keep this in mind, that Oregon had 4 coaches in 6 years. So they've been through it recently as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was probably, I mean, I don't think I know. There was a lot of fear there for a moment. Is this a UW stepping stone
job? Is it a stepping stone school?
And I think landing Dan Lanning was absolutely crucial. Yes. Because he could have easily used this as a stepping stone program. And I don't think he is because he is. I mean, I think they were trending in that direction as a consistent, no 4-win season downs.
Yeah.
No, not using Justin Herbert the correct way. But like they were on the trajectory to be consistently in the playoff national championship contender. But Willie Taggart leaves. Mario Cristobal leaves, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, Dan Lanning, this coordinator from Georgia, is he just going to do the same thing?
Who's a young guy.
Who's a young guy. You know, I'm gonna wait for Ryan Day to get fired, and I'm going to leave Oregon and go to Ohio State, you know, or Harbaugh leaves Michigan, and that's my opportunity to get into Michigan. And I think Oregon fans got lucky with Lanning being the kind of guy he is, the infrastructure that he's helped build that the university's given around
him. It makes sense.
To stick there and stick it out.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think you could have been in a very, very, very scary place because I don't know who UW goes and gets if Jed Fish walks.
It's going to be interesting. Billy Napier? Swap coaches?
Just swap? Can you trade him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what you do. Like, who is somebody you could poach?
Because I think you like a PJ Fleck out of Minnesota.
Do you want a PJ Fleck? You know,
row the boats.
Do you take a flyer on Mel Tucker as time healed all wounds?
Yeah, I don't think.
Because if you're UW, I think you might need to go get a name.
Mm.
Do you go sneak Wilcox out of Cal?
I'm sure he'd love to leave.
I'm sure he would. I mean,
has he been at Washington before?
He was the OC under Peterson.
Well, there, yeah.
I mean, I would love that. Cal's my little engine that could in the ACC. I'm watching Cal games.
But they do also have a tough road to hoe in the ACC.
I'm watching Cal games from here on out.
Mm.
That's what I've decided.
Little JKS.
They're my boat I'm going to row.
He's fun. I like that.
They're my boat I'm going to row. We'll give a shout out to Josh, if you're listening today on your 41st birthday. Your partner gave us a little heads up on this. Thanks for being a fan of the show, the station, for over 13 years. That's longer than I've been here.
Mm-hmm.
That's one more year than the Huskies' losses in 2008. In fact, in 2008, the Huskies were so bad by losing all 12 games, the Sonics said enough is enough and moved to OKC.
Oof. Yeah, I knew that was a bad year. I thought it was 09. That's the year that USC beat them 56-0, and I don't think they had a first down until the second half.
Absolutely brutal. Well, everybody, have fun in rivalry weekend, okay? Get your hate out, all right? Be petty. Let's have some fun here.
Love it.
We'll see you on Monday. Have a safe weekend. For Danny Morang, happy birthday, Josh.
Mm-hmm.
That's Rusty on the ones and twos. I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something. I would do.
Bye. We need more butt in our lives.